Our journal. I want to make sure that you guys tune in live each and every Saturday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on 107.3 FM. We also have our affiliates in Alexandria, Louisiana, as well as down in New Orleans. And if you're not able to catch us on radio live, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel as well as follow us on Facebook. It's the Jaguar Journal.
Opinionated, outspoken, informative.
The Jaguar Journal.
Your source for the latest information on Southern University sports and SWAC athletics.
A Baton Rouge sports talk tradition.
All right, everybody, bright and early on a Saturday morning. It is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody. Hope you're having a great morning. Even greater morning right here in the studio. My man, Mike. I don't know what he's doing with all this pink on. What's going on with all this pink today, Mike? He says it's only Dodger hat. Then you got the pink thing with your laptop.
That's just there.
Okay, so it ain't no coincidence with all this pink. I thought you was representing something today, Mike. All right, I had to ask a question out loud. I didn't know what you had going on, but good morning to everybody. Glad to have you guys with us. Of course, I'm Perry White. It's the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody listening across the Baton Rouge Capital City area on Talk 107.3 FM. Everybody watching on our YouTube and Facebook Live, glad to have you guys with us this morning. Look, we got checking in from Newport News, Virginia. Listen, I love when people check in with us on our YouTube channel. We get an opportunity to interact as well as with our Facebook Live. And let's go back to last week, right? We had an opportunity last week to talk to Coach Funches and Coach Johnson. Kevin Johnson, the head men's basketball coach at Southern University, and Coach Carlos Funches over at Southern, who's the head women's basketball coach. Both teams were able to get an early game victory to start off. The women got a victory on Thursday, and then coming around on Saturday, they closed the deal. Then on Saturday, it was a hell of a battle between Southern and Prairie View when you're talking about basketball. Hell of a matchup. It was an intense game. It was one of those games where when you looked at it, you said, man, look, you can feel it in the air. And you could. Prairie View got the victory over the Jaguars, unfortunately. But what a hell of a game it was. And then, of course, and that was on Monday. Excuse me. Saturday was Texas Southern. But on Monday, that was a hell of a game between Southern and Prairie View. Man, I'm talking about the tension. You can feel it. And those are the matchups when you're looking at, and I guess for me, SWAC basketball, right? The level of competition that has continued to rise when you're talking about starting from conference play, start just straight off the bat. Southern, one of those teams where when you looked in preseason on the basketball sides, on the men, they're going to be tough. But I think the same thing has to be said about Prairie View. They're going to be tough. Prairie View and Southern. Texas Southern was, when you look at the week, Southern got an 84-73 victory over Texas Southern on Saturday, and then on Monday, falling 89-85 to Prairie View on Monday. Now, we look forward to today. Southern's going to be on the road taking on Florida A&M today. Tip off at 5 o'clock on the men's side. And then on Monday, we know it's always tough to go to Bethune-Cookman. Reggie Theus always has his team prepped and ready. And Southern has traditionally, since Reggie Theus has taken over Bethune-Cookman and since Kevin Johnson has taken over at Southern, Southern has had an issue with getting a victory over Bethune-Cookman. What it is, I'm not sure. But they just seem to come out on the better side of things. We go back to last Thursday on the women's side as I catch you guys up. Southern University women getting a big victory over Prairie View, 70-55. Then they come in on Saturday and get a 64-45 victory over Texas Southern. Then we go to Thursday. How about Southern University and Coach Carlos Funches? They go off to win 61-50. Over Bethune-Cookman, and then today's matchup will be Southern versus Florida A&M. It's basketball season, people. It's basketball season. So, had to catch you guys up, and I wanted to go back to that because, listen, I believe right now at the rate that the season is going, this is going to be a hell of a basketball season on both the men and the women's side. Mike, check the line. It's going to be a hell of a season on both sides. But for me, I'm looking at, I like right now what Coach Carlos Funches is doing. Coach Funches right now seems to have the women's basketball team, in my opinion, looking at an opportunity to repeat of where they at. On the men's side, the only issue for me looking at the men is closing out games. And I go back and I look at games throughout the non-conference in which I thought they had opportunities that they did not close out. Texas State, Washington, to name two. Two games that I thought they had in the bag. If they can only close those games out, and I felt the same thing with Prairie View down the stretch. When the shots mattered, they could not close them out. And I think that's going to be the name of the game for this team this year. If they can close out games in the second half under a minute and be able to make those free throws and become a really great rebounding team, put back shots, I think the men have a chance, but they got to learn how to close out games. And I think that's been the story of that team this year, which has kept them from a few more wins than what they have right now. All right, everybody, let's get ready to take a break as we get the show rocking and rolling. We're going to have a very special guest this morning, my man, attorney Tony Clayton, who is the chair of the Southern University board. The system as a whole is going to be joining us, and we're going to talk about all type of stuff today. So I want you guys to buckle in, go run and use the bathroom, go get your coffee, go get yourself together, because this is going to be a hell of a conversation, because guess what? It's not often you get a chance to talk to the chair of the board. So we're going to get a chance to do that today. And you guys will get a chance to tune in and interact with us on our YouTube and Facebook. So let's get ready to take a break. When we come back, we'll be back with more of the Jaguar Journal. All right, everybody, we're back. It's the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody. Glad to have you guys with us. I am Perry White. Good morning to everybody out there listening across the Baton Rouge Capital City area on Talk 107.3 FM. And everybody watching on our YouTube and Facebook Live, be sure to keep up with the Jaguar Journal across all social media. We're on X. We're on TikTok. Social media on Facebook, Instagram, as well as you can keep up with us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Glad to have you guys with us this morning. And a very special guest this morning joining us. He is the chair of the Southern University System Board. He's no stranger here to the show, no stranger to the many Jaguars out there across the state of Louisiana and the nation. Want to welcome today on today's show, my man, attorney Tony Clayton. Good morning.
Good morning, nation. Good morning, Mr. White. How are you guys, man? I'm proud to be here. Glad to be here.
You up, man? Wake on up for us. Wake on up.
I'm up, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, good to have you on the show. It's not often, you know, people get a chance to hear from you from a perspective outside of maybe like a television interview or you at the board, with the board, at a board meeting, being able to talk business. But this is an opportunity for us to get a chance to not only talk a little business with you, but then get to know you. Because I tell you what, when I came to Southern University, your name was just like you. You were like this person in the shadows of Tony Clayton. And I really didn't know who Tony Clayton was until over the years, as you know, as I matriculated through the system. And, you know, I showed up to a board meeting, or I got a chance to see you at a ribbon cutting ceremony, or you were doing something with admins around the campus where I actually got a chance to put a face to the name. But for the people that's out there, and they hear the name Tony Clayton, let's talk about the humble beginnings. Where does Tony Clayton come from? Where does the humble beginnings of attorney Tony Clayton begin?
You know, I appreciate that, but it's not much to me. I mean, I am what I am because of Southern University. But I was born in a little town called Plaquemines, across the river, on a street called Nats Alley. My family teased me that Dr. Dawson's office was right behind my grandmother's house, and I was born in the house, so they didn't quite make it there, but I think he cut the cord. My siblings teased me that I had a mule with a mint julep next to me when I was born. So I come from very humble beginnings, and believe you me, I know that, and I give all the praise to God for me being, if I'm anything, for whatever I am, it's because of him. And Southern comes in a not-so-distant second. So how's it, man? How you doing? How you been? What's going on? Let's talk a little bit about Southern. What you got?
Oh, man, I'm good, man. You know, as we look at Southern and we talk about the state that it is in currently, going through transition of looking for a new system president, and we talk about your presence at Southern. This is your second time around at the head position as we're talking about being the chair of the board. But for you, when you look at Southern, and this is the next question that I was kind of steering you into, what made you want to be involved to be in a position to say, hey, Southern needs leadership like myself, and I would love to be at the helm to be the one to help lead this ship in the right direction?
You know, I must first give credit to my colleague, my fellow board members. I have folks on that board, or we have folks on that board like Ann Smith from AME. I mean, a stellar rock in the community. A guy named Quincy Carthon, a lawyer out of Opelousas. Like we got Ronnie Whitfield. He's the chair of our athletics. So it's not me. It's the collective effort of folks like the folks I just named. But I'm just like Benny Pearl. Perry, I'm just proud to be part of it. But I'll tell you, we are a deliberative board. We argue. We don't always agree. But we come out with a majority rule concept. So it's a great board to be on. And the board, kind of like there's a unified, I guess, answer, for lack of a better way of putting it. But it's a collective voice of 16 people that inextricably intertwine their decision-making with that is in the best interest of the students and the taxpayers of this state.
You know, you have attorney in front of your name, so you're attorney Tony Clayton, a graduate of the Southern University Law Center, and guess what? One of the best in the nation when you talk about being able to educate folks and get them out there to be able to be the best that they can be, and you're one of those people, a successful attorney, district attorney as well, and let's talk about just the importance as we move on. Southern University Law School and what it meant to you to even have you in a position that you are of being successful in life.
You know, that's a great question, but and I've often given this statement, and Perry, I stand by it, but Southern took me a rock out of the backdoor cane fields of Louisiana and polished me into a gem so that I can shine throughout the courtrooms. So I don't know if I'm one of the best in the country, but I think the best in the country better pack a lunch if they're going to go against me in the courtroom. And that's not bragging on me. That's just saying Southern taught me how to fight. Southern taught me how to argue. Southern taught me how to put the best interests of little folks, I mean, of folks that people would typically try to walk over. I fight for them. I fight for them like there's nothing left in me. I do believe that big corporations put profit over safety, and I'm the guy to go talk to 12 jurors and tell them, say, hey, this is what this company did, and this is why my client is injured. But I credit it all to Southern University, Dr. Jesse Stone, who I was his driver back in the day. But Barry, I could go on all day, man. Just like all your listeners, Southern University, dude, is ingrained in me. And I'll tell you, I told some folks on the other talk show that my kids are somewhat jealous because Southern is in my wheel. So they better stand in line, but Southern comes first.
And I want to say, I once heard a story from Dr. Isaac Griggs. I forgot where I was at, and Dr. Griggs was telling the story.
I love that guy.
And he said he pulled up and he snatched you up and had you go represent something in the court. You remember that story? What is it about that story? I can't vividly remember, but I can remember Dr. Griggs talking about you and saying how he got you to go do something for him.
Man, I was his lawyer, one of his lawyers, but Doc had me represent him in all kind of stuff, man. I tell you, I can't go into most of it, but I'll tell you, I would walk Doc out of a courtroom every time because people love him. Jurors love him. You have to be crazy to sue Southern or Southern's band with Dr. Greg at the helm. I mean, this guy. Look, 3 years ago, I represented Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt, the actor, he had built some homes in New Orleans, and the owners of the home filed a class action suit against Brad, and they should have sued the architects. But I told the lawyer, I said, you out of your mind. I'm putting Brad Pitt in front of that jury. You don't stand a chance. Well, that is who Dr. Isaac Gregg was. You put him in front of a jury, he would have them eating out of his hands. So yes, I've represented him on a plethora of issues, and I don't think we've ever lost. So he's the type of client you want to have if you're a lawyer.
Well, I just wanted to bring that up as we do get into the introduction of who you are in the background, because I remember that story. I thought it was interesting. That helped me get a chance to better understand just the foundation that you have at Southern. And as we talk about the foundation that you have at Southern, now it's chairing this board of supervisors for Southern. For you to be able to be in that seat, what is that like for just the average person or the average alum who may not understand what it takes to run operations at Southern, not just from the Southern Baton Rouge campus, but overall as a system as a whole?
So, Barry, we answer to people like you and your audience. I mean, they and you are our bosses. So trust me, we read the social media posts. We read your posts. We read what your folks have to say. So with that serving as a backdrop, to serve on this board is a unique honor bestowed upon all of us, to where the care and the policy making decisions surround us. And so we do our best. I'll tell you, this is an awesome board, a great collection of minds, a diverse group of people, and there's some smart people. I mean, I'm the one who's learning a lot from them. So we listen. As a chair, you're just an instrument of formalizing whatever the wishes of the board is. So the chair is not some super person. He's just a mouthpiece for the board and for the board's collective decision. But serving on that board is an honor, and it's just something that, if you're chosen to do it, it's something that you fear. You get butterflies in your stomach before every meeting, and you know that you have to do what needs to be done to keep that school open.
Let's get ready to do this, because in order for us to keep this open, we got to get ready to take a break. We got attorney Tony Clayton here join us this morning. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back to continue more of this great conversation of the Jaguar Journal. Hey everybody, we're back. It's the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to you. I'm Perry White. Good morning to everybody listening across the Baton Rouge Capital City area on Talk 107.3 FM, and everybody watching on our YouTube and Facebook Live. This morning, we got a very special guest. He is the chair of the Southern University System Board of Supervisors, my man, attorney Tony Clayton. Good morning.
I'm here, Perry. What's going on, man?
Hey, not much. As we continue to keep things going, had to pay some bills. But to be able to have you here this morning to have a conversation, I want to start with, we had an opportunity a few weeks back to talk to Dr. Dennis Shields, who is now no longer the president or over the Southern University system as the president. Now we're moving in a different direction. But as we look at the campuses as a whole, from Shreveport to New Orleans to Baton Rouge. Let us know from a standpoint of organization, where do we stand currently with as a system when we look at all of the campuses that compose of Southern University?
So Southern University, the state of Southern is well. I mean, we have five campuses, as you just mentioned. The biggest attribute that's for Southern is that we have our own built-in junior college, a two-year college system. And because of that, a kid who may not have a relatively high score on the ACT test, we can run that kid through the two-year system in Shreveport, but still have that kid present on Baton Rouge campus. But technically, he'll be through the two-year college until we polish him up and get him up to the four-year institution. So we can nurture our kids, and it just won't be any bumps in the road. Because like myself, when I first started Southern, I had to take remedial classes. I didn't score that high on the ACT test. I think I scored like a 15. But a kid like me needed a little bit more polishing up. And Southern nurtured me and did that. So having the five campuses or the five schools, for lack of a better way of putting it, allows us to take a Tony Clayton, polish him up, and then direct him into political science or law or medicine or wherever he or she may choose to go. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally, because I'm the same situation. Political science major, Southern polished me up. I tell everybody, I transferred here. I had a 1.7 GPA. I messed off at another school. I took college for the experience more so of the education. But when I came to Southern, I focused in on the education, and it was the educators of Southern University who took me in, and they polished me up to make sure that I was prepared to be in the world and be a critical thinker to be able to make the best possible decisions in life. So very relatable, very understandable, and just like your story and my story, that's what makes the essence of Southern, because there are thousands of people out there that come from humble beginnings, and Southern saw something in them in which other universities and society at the time may have deemed and said, no, not here. And Southern said, you know what? Come on, let's get you. Let's clean you up and let's make you shine bright like the diamond that you are. So I totally understand when you look at the process of going through the university and the matriculation. Now, when I talk about the university as a whole, the system as a whole, you talked about the Shreveport campus. Now, we often get confused with the New Orleans campus because they are the Suno Knights. And it took me a while to have to understand the Knights until I went down to New Orleans. I had a chance to walk around the campus. I went to a Southern University Alumni Federation Leadership Conference there before. And I've had an opportunity to go to each one of those campuses. But when you look at Suno as a whole, it has its own pride and tradition about itself. Talk about that to give people a little bit better understanding, because from the outside world, they think the Southern Jaguars encompass each one of these schools, but these schools have their own identity within themselves, including Suno.
They're five separate and distinct campuses. They're like the fingers on your hand. They're five. They all operate together. But you're right. Suno is now under the leadership of former Senator Joe Bowie. And when I tell you, this guy is a spectacular leader, and Suno is breaking down barriers. Suno was brought forth in the New Orleans area so that those African-American folks down there, like myself and you, had an opportunity to attend campus. So traveling to Baton Rouge took a quite long time back in the day. But Suno is there, and it's prospered, and it's offered a unique opportunity to African-Americans, and now both majority and minority Americans down in that area. But I'll tell you, a guy like you, Perry, speaks volumes, because you emanated from Pine Bluff. Y'all didn't have Cablevision probably when you were growing up. So when you came to a big city like Baton Rouge, you I'm joking about y'all. But folks like you, you were close to Shreveport, but to draw you into Southern, that's that eclectic mixture of young folks that we're able to bring in. I mean, you did like me. You went to political science. So I've done my homework on you, Perry. And I mean, we kind of look alike, and we kind of had the same kind of trajectory as it relates to Southern, man. So I'm proud to have you part of our Jaguar Nation.
We did have cable TV, okay? It wasn't like... You know, for me, and what drew me to Southern, I tell the story all the time, it was the Bayou Classic. I don't have any family in Louisiana. I don't have any family that attended Southern. My mom went to the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff. My aunt went to Jackson State and Mississippi Valley. And then the rest of the family went to Ohio State and the University of Ohio. So growing up, I saw Southern from afar. And my aunt, my uncle, my aunt's husband, he went to Grambling. So we would sit and watch the Bayou Classic, and they would leave me and my cousins Thanksgiving after we had Thanksgiving dinner and head down to New Orleans. For years, we were begging. We want to go to New Orleans. We want to go to New Orleans. And they kept saying, no, y'all too young. It's too much going on. By the time I got like around 12, they brought us all as a whole. And that impact for me changed my life. I left there. Southern won the game, of course. I saw the band perform, and I had never been in a place where I saw as many people as you just said that looked like us there for a football game. 70,000-plus people, and it was completely different from watching it on television each and every year. So when I got there, I had my little Kodak camera. I took pictures of everything, and when I came back, the imprint of what Southern just the overall passion and tradition I got a chance to witness for me stuck with me for a lifetime still to this day. It gives me chills when I go back and think about it because that impact that it had on me that day, I never knew how long that would last and what direction that would take me in life. But because of that, it just showed as an outsider who knew nothing about Southern, knew nothing about Louisiana, that's what drew me in. That's what made me a lifelong lover and supporter of Southern University, a graduate of Southern. And I think about that story for many others who get an opportunity to just get a taste of Southern, and then they take that back and can't stop talking about it for the rest of their lives to the point I'm sitting here doing a radio show. And as we talk about that imprint and the future of Southern and where it's headed, Southern University currently looking for or in the process, a committee has been formed and in the process of looking for a new system president. Can you talk to us about the committee that has been formed and the direction that this system wants to move in that they feel can take Southern into the next level?
So that committee is headed by former state representative and now city councilman Jason Hughes, who is from New Orleans, was a strong leader in the legislature. So he will have major influence with the legislatures of this state, both white and blacks, in terms of creating and helping us maintain our funding. It's also led by a gentleman by the name of Tim Hardy, who emanates from the great city of Shreveport. And Tim, as you know, is probably the best environmental lawyer in the world, not even the country. But he's there to offer his input, as well as James Stewart and some students from Southern and Eric Lane from Jerry Lane. So we have a diversity, a group of folks who will pick that leader. I'm looking for someone who, and I say I, but it's 15 other folks, but we're looking for someone who's going to be able to have the system continually talk the little components, talk to one another, communicate with one another to move that school in a take it to a higher level. So I'm excited about what this committee is going to do. They're going to, within the next 4 months, they're going to interview a plethora of people and make 3 recommendations to us, and we'll choose that person from their recommendations or whomever the board should see fit to bring on.
You know, you talk about whomever the board should see fit to bring on, and you look at the committee that's put together. But from Tony Clayton's perspective, what does the future of the Southern University system look like for you as the chair? And, you know, we plan now for the future for it to carry on through the legacy, not only for you, but then for the next generation. But as you are in place now, what do you want the future as you sit in this position to be a decision maker to look like for this system?
Southern will be here for the next 400 to 500 years. And so and we are building that foundation now so that this school will forever be here. I mean, she was here and she started in the 1880s, and here it is 2025, 2026. So Southern has a strong foundation. It will be here. As you know, we're the only HBCU system in the country, and we're here to stay. And so it takes folks like you, and a guy like you, formerly worked for Barry Landry. I remember that. You had dealings with Tom Jones with some of your shows. It's about you guys, man. It's about taking guys like you, putting you in this puzzle to make sure that this school carries on. This show the show On the Yard. I mean, that is, that's Southern breathing. That is actually Southern taking its breath by folks like you. So, but let me shift topics. What do you think about Marshall Faulk? Because I'm feeling the energy around Coach Faulk. What do you think about that?
You want to talk some football?
Yeah, let's talk a little football.
All right, let's go there.
We'll go back. All right.
For me, Marshall Faulk, so I'll be honest with you. When this whole thing took place, right, and let's start from the beginning, the hiring of Eric Dooley. Then we went on to Terrence Graves, right? SWAC championship appearance. Next year didn't quite get to where we wanted. The fan base kind of fell back because accountability in which they felt they did not get from coaches who they felt. And one thing I tell people about Southern's football fans, they may not be football coaches, but they know damn well what they're watching when they get into a stand and they spend their money to go to the games when they travel. So you can't, you have to have some type of media savviness about you to come in and to relate to Southern's fans. And you just can't talk to them in football jargon and say, well, if you ain't never been a coach, you don't understand what's going on. And I think that was a mistake from the past two coaches of talking to the fans in which the fans felt some type of way. Marshall Faulk comes in and brings in a media savviness about itself along with an intelligence about the game of football that I think that fans can relate to it. Now, the other thing to it is he's never been a head football coach. And for me, looking at a guy who's never been a head football coach, he's going to be learning on the job as he grows through this thing, right? And that's called growing pains. Now, when this entire thing took off, I said, man, and I said it here publicly, Southern has to have a guy who is a proven coach that has come from a background that within that background, he has shown in a resume that he's won here. He's increased these numbers here. He's done these things well. So when we look at the resume, it feels like you can be confident in what this guy has done because everywhere he's gone, he's left an imprint. Marshall Faulk brings in a different type of feel from that. It's not necessarily the resume of a football coach, but it's a resume of a NFL Hall of Famer who has resources and network ability across the country. That has to, one, first make you feel good because it's what we've talked about throughout this show. Southern taking, and you said another 400 or 500 years. Within that 400 or 500 years, that's meaning we got to have resources. And that's one of the reasons I think you also, as a whole, with a committee looking for a new president at Southern. It's about what resources can we bring into the university as well as athletics and not only that, creating partnerships and networks across the country to those who otherwise may not have wanted to do or have known about Southern when you're talking about doing business. So for me, there's a kind of, as I if I want to put it, an uncertainty. Because for most head football coaches, I get to go back and I look at this guy's trajectory and I can base what I see now of what he's done in the past. Just like the University of Indiana, if you watched the game last night, you know, you see Indiana, but when you look at their coach, he has a background that is like, I see how he got here. With Marshall Faulk, I'm eager because the excitement of him being a guy right there from the Ninth Ward in New Orleans, a Louisiana kid who went off to play college football, went off to be a part of the greatest show on turf, and an NFL Hall of Famer. That's the part that excites me. That's the part I'm looking forward to in terms of what can he do now to wow us as a fan base. But I have to be honest, I have an uncertainty because I don't know what it's going to look like. And I think with anything, you have that uncertainty. You have that butterfly of what it's going to look, not going to look like.
You have to, by analogy, I draw to what my grandmother was telling me when I was a kid. She said, if you want to see the devil, you keep running with his disciples. And what she was telling me, you keep messing with these bad kids on the street or whatever, you're going to end up going to hell. Well, the opposite of that, Marshall Faulk, look at his disciples. He has C.J. Johnson, who's coaching the pros, who was a head coach at Tulane. He has that light guy. He has that merchant. He has surrounded himself with some great damn disciples, which means the coach, he's a smart guy. I mean, I've said that Marshall is brilliant, so he gets the game. But when you go again, this collective effort of folks, that's where you go. Now, you mentioned something during your colloquy a second ago about business. And I got in a little hot water the other day when I said that we need to sell the naming rights on A.W. Mumford, and I stand by that, and I stand 10 down on it. But here's something else I think, Perry, and I want to know your viewpoint for it, about it, and your viewers. we put almost 100,000 folks, I think 50 to 100,000 folks on that campus tailgating.
Mm-hmm.
And not that many of them coming to the game. So I'm going to propose, and it's up to the board to agree with me, that you are not to come on that campus to tailgate unless you buy one or two season tickets. Because you come on the campus, we have to pay for security. It costs us hundreds of thousands of dollars for all those cops you see around there. So if we're going to have to pay for all that and you come up there just to cook and barbecue, you need to give us some money. You need to come into the game. So I'm like, let's put some conditions on tailgating, because it's big, it's huge, and we have to make sure that everybody is safe up there. And that costs a lot of money. But just having folks come up there and sitting there just barbecuing and not coming into the game or not contributing to this, the expenses of this, and I know that's going to cause some pushback, but I need you guys to hear me out on that. This is a business. What do you think about that, putting a surcharge on them and making them buy a season ticket if you're going to come up there and tailgate? I'm not talking about the RVers, because they pay.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about those folks who are just walking up there and tailgate and bringing their barbecue pits. What do you think?
I've had this conversation, actually, with the athletic director.
You're scared. I can tell you hesitate. You're a little scared to talk about that.
Not at all.
Hesitate a little bit.
No hesitation. I'm trying to, you being an attorney, I'm trying to make sure my thoughts come out clearly in the right direction, because what you just brought up, I've been having a conversation with the athletic director at the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff about the same thing. They have dealt with their biggest game of the year has been homecoming. Unfortunately, the rest of the games have been But when it comes to homecoming, they look out into the parking lot and they look into the stands and they see thousands of people in the parking lot, but not that same number resonates within the stands. And so they look at all that money that's walking around the parking lot, but none of that money is coming into the stands. So the same concept in terms of the conversation has been had. I agree with you, because in this day and age, you got to pay to play. And when I say pay to play, that's paying the players, that's paying the coaches, that's paying everything that you're looking for.
And this is my thing with Southern fans.
If you want to be the champions, because you have put your money where your mouth is, and we got to get ready to take a break here in a minute, but you have put your money where your mouth is. So I can understand from a position of what you have done in terms of your investment of the university, but I continuously tell Southern fans on here, it goes beyond a post on social media. It goes beyond the barbershop talk. If Southern truly wants to consider itself a championship program, when we talk about athletics.
Please, Barry, please. Preach, the kid from Pine Bluff, preach. You better go to that commercial break. Come on back, man.
Because we're going to keep this thing going, because it has so many different points to it that we have to educate our fan base out there to understand what is it to be a championship program. It's just not hiring a coach and then expecting the coach to go do what he's going to do with whatever resources that he has. Championships take a whole nother level of an evaluation when you look at everything that's associated within that program. And for us, it goes beyond, and our fans have to grow out of this old way of thinking that, okay, I paid for parking, I paid for a ticket, and I bought concession. Is that not enough? No, it is not enough. That's just the bare minimum. That's to cut the lights on. That's to pay the officials. That's to pay the security. That's just to get regular game day operation off the, just to get you the experience of the entertainment that you're looking for today. But if you want a true championship program across the board, we all have to put our money where our mouth is. And if it ain't just money, we have to use our resources and our networking background in whatever ways that we can in order to enhance the overall program. And not just football, not just athletics, but not just Southern University at Baton Rouge, but the system as a whole, with Southern system being the only historically black college university system in the entire world. That means something. And for me, we can't always, and I say this all the time, we understand and we have to continue to fight the good fight. That good fight is saying we know the state and whatever else owes billions of dollars over the years of not being able to get the money that we feel that we owe. But I'm not going to be the one, just like your humble beginnings and my humble beginnings, to wait on somebody to hand me something. I got to go out and I got to make it do what it do myself. I got to pull up my shoestrings, tie those bootstraps and get going. And us as a fan base have to realize not only one, our political power, but two, our financial power. And that financial power, where we can give back. Because look, we spend it everywhere else, But we got to understand the importance of education and why education matters for us, and especially a place like Southern University when you're talking about the athletics. So I'm with you wholeheartedly. There are other areas when I look around, and I'm just like you. I see money walking around, and it's like, well, it's just walking around. There's no way it's getting back to us as an institution. And people often overlook that and don't think that matters and it means something. You just expect, well, we hired somebody. He got to make it do what it do. Or we voted and elected somebody in office. They got to make it do what it do. No, it's our jobs, because I think you started off first when we first started this interview. You work for the people. Who are the people? The alums of Southern University, but the alums of Southern University and the friends and the family also have a major obligation. That obligation is to make sure, as you said, Southern University will be around for 400-500 years, and that's giving back in every way that we can possible. And if anybody got a problem with showing up to Southern's campus, as soon as you cross Swan Street, the hump, the back of campus, wherever, and they say, hey, we got to charge you to come on campus, you should be willing to say, okay, I will give whatever it takes to see Southern be successful, because we showing up, we want to win. Well, winning costs. Winning ain't cheap. Winning ain't just something you can pull out of a hat like people thought you could do 20, 30 years ago. It's a new world. It's a new day. And just like you're saying, we got to evolve with the times and realize what does it take to maintain success and be a winner in this new world, thinking in a new way.
We're together on that, my friend. We're together.
Can I take a break and we come back now? I want to continue this conversation with you.
I'll be here waiting on you.
All right. Mike, do we need to take a double break? All right, let's take a double break. We'll come back at the top of the hour. I hope you guys will be and have enjoyed today's show. As we keep things going, we're going to the top of the hour. Got my man, attorney Tony Clayton, who is the chair of the Southern University System Board of Supervisors. Hell of an attorney, hell of a chair. And we're going to talk some athletics, because I know you guys want to talk about it. So let's get ready. You stay tuned. We'll be back. More of the Jaguar Journal.